T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
4 o'clock straight up, Sports Radio 94, WIP. Joe Giglio in for John Marks alongside Ike Reese. This is Marks and Reese. We'll get back to all the phone calls in just a few minutes here as we debate what's more important on the stretch of this season. Everyone else around Carson stepping up and playing better football, or Carson Wentz lifting these guys up? Eagles 5-5, Seahawks 8-2, Sunday at the Link. To talk about that and everything going on around the NFL, Mike Florio joins the show every week. Pro Football Talk, PFT Live, Sunday Night Football. Mike, Joe Giglio, and Ike Reese, how you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
What's up, Mike?
Ike, how are you? Hey, I didn't know you interacted with the James Thrash parody account on Twitter.
That's a parody account?
That's a parody account, my butt. It became a parody account once he realized that's the only way to get all the Browns fans off of his case.
There it is. Mike, you let us right into it. The Myles Garrett situation, which Mike took a twist that I wasn't ready for this week. Now, obviously, we know the hearing and the appeal, but then you have Myles Garrett trying to assert that Mason Rudolph said something racially charged that caused that kind of reaction a couple Thursday nights ago. What's your take on all this?
Yeah, look, the NFL had to have a stern punishment here. Here's why. And they had to have the ability to revisit the situation after the season. They need to be 100% sure that Myles Garrett is not going to do this again, that whatever fuse blew in his brain last Thursday night is not going to blow again. Because the next time it happens, number one, the guy may get seriously injured. And number two, the NFL can't say, we had no idea he may do this, because now you're on notice. So the NFL is going to have to check a lot of boxes and fill out a lot of forms and be able to say we did everything reasonably prudent in order to ensure that Myles Garrett was fit to be in a situation where he possibly could pull off someone's helmet and hit him over the head with it. And if he does it again, how can you say we did everything to keep it from happening again because he did it again? So I think they want to. I think it's the right thing to do, and I think from a legal standpoint, it's the smart thing to do. They needed to have this indefinite suspension. And even though James Thrash and Derek Brooks are truly independent in that they're hired and paid by both the NFL and the NFLPA, I think on some of these issues, they're smart enough to know one side cares about it a lot more than the other side. Mm-hmm. And if you want to continue to have that job on a year-to-year basis, there are some of these where you better go along with the side that you know really, really wants it, because that side may be the one that says at the end of the year, oh, we think it's time for a new voice, a new face, a new approach to these joint decisions that are made when players get in trouble for on-field misconduct.
Mm-hmm. Mike, go ahead.
Now, I was going to ask you, Mike, what do you make of the latest reports from Myles Garrett's side? Oh, I shouldn't even say from Myles Garrett's side about the racial slurs coming out of there. Like, where did that come from, and how did it get leaked from what's supposed to be a confidential meeting that he was having with James Thrash and the NFLPA?
Well, and I've talked to a bunch of different people about this, and we've had guests on the show today to talk about it. Ideally, Myles Garrett wanted to keep it to himself. He didn't want to make it look like he was making an excuse. Although, if it were me last Thursday night, if I was mad enough 15 minutes earlier to take a guy's helmet off and hit him over the head, when I'm in the locker room and the media is asking me about it, I'm still going to be mad enough to say, this guy uttered a racial slur. So I was surprised he didn't put it in play then. And I think it's naive. For as smart as Myles Garrett is, I think it's naive to assume it's not getting out. Things like that find a way out. Every additional person that knows about something mushrooms the chances that people are going to find out about it. So they had to assume it was going to come out. Now, the other thing that bothers me is yesterday when the report did emerge, you had strong denials from Mason Rudolph's agent and strong denials from the team. But they canceled Mason Rudolph's media availability and said he's not going to address it anymore. Well, why not? Why not? Why won't you address it? Because I'll tell you what, if a guy pulled off my helmet and hit me over the head with it, and to follow it up, he accused me of using a slur when I didn't, I'd want to address it. I'd be upset. First he tries to kill me, now he's trying to paint me as a racist. I would want to shout from the rooftops, and I'd answer any question anyone had if that accusation was made against me and it wasn't true. So I've got questions on both sides of this one. I'm not sure that it's being handled smartly from a PR perspective by either camp. And you know what the NFL's position was? They found no evidence of a slur. Well, they do have evidence of a slur because Myles Garrett heard it. You have a guy who says, I heard it. So there is evidence of it. The question is, do you find it credible? Do you need to corroborate it? And if they really want to get to the bottom of it, it's very easy. Fly to Cleveland, fly to Pittsburgh, grill both of these guys, get all the details, and a skilled interrogator is going to know who's telling the truth and who isn't. There's no middle ground here, right? It either happened or it didn't. And if they really wanted to figure it out, I think they could.
Mike, do you believe the NFL investigated this enough to say they have no evidence? I mean, you just said it. They could dig more. But, I mean, it's Thursday Night Football. There's cameras. There's audio. I mean, everything gets mic'd up.
Yeah,
there's no one. Like, it's hard for me to imagine that happened, and there's no way they could know that happened. Or do you think that that's just the reality of the situation in the moment on that field?
Well, and that's the thing. I think it's imprecise to say we have no evidence or we found no evidence. You can say we found no objective proof. We found no audio. But again, Myles Garrett's saying it. So either you accept Myles Garrett's position or you don't. And I just feel like everyone involved just wants to turn the page on this one and move on, that no good comes out of it. And, you know, I know they tried a few years ago to beef up the enforcement of the rules regarding the use of racial slurs during the game. And there have been a couple of guys who have been fined. Colin Kaepernick was fined at one point, if you guys remember that, for directing a slur at someone during a game. And the fine was reduced on appeal, but it was an issue. I just think it is such a murky topic. And as Tony Dungy said today, Myles Garrett should not have reacted at all. Tony Dungy's position is a lot of nasty stuff gets said on a football field. You can't allow yourself to blow a fuse and engage in anything beyond the start of the play and the blowing of the whistle, or you're just asking for trouble.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, joining us right now around the NFL as we go. Week 12 began last night. Mike, the Antonio Brown story seems to always want to go away for a couple weeks, and then it's back. And there was a report this week that maybe the Patriots kicked the tires on bringing him back again. That was refuted. What are you hearing, and what do you think is going to happen here down the stretch? I was under the assumption we were done with Antonio Brown for the rest of the season, but now his name is back out there again.
Yeah, and here's what happened. I had an impression that the NFL was going to find a way to kick the can on this investigation so he wouldn't play again this year. After he had his interview last Thursday, and there wasn't a whole lot of discussion and focus about it because we were dealing with the Colin Kaepernick workout, we were dealing with the Myles Garrett situation. I was told earlier this week that there's a sense of optimism in Antonio Brown's camp, that he is going to get the green light to return, like Tyreek Hill did. Remember, they met with Tyreek Hill, then there was an announcement, there's going to be no discipline, he's good to go. Teams are waiting for that green light. And if that green light comes down the stretch, I mean, that is one heck of a dynamic that gets introduced to the playoff run. Because you got two questions to ask yourself, Ike. Question one, do you want Antonio Brown?
Yes.
Question two, do you want to run the risk that somebody you're going to have to play in January has Antonio Brown?
Right.
Right?
Yes.
There's a huge swing there. And the fact that the Patriots don't want to bring him back, all right, that's fine. It was an ugly situation. Their myth, Tom Curran told me today, he's with NBC Sports Boston, their myth that it wasn't disclosed that he's facing this potential lawsuit, and they believe that Drew Rosenhaus and Antonio Brown knew about it when he signed with the Patriots back in September. But fine, okay, Patriots, you don't sign him. The Ravens roll into town, and you've got Marquise Brown and his cousin Antonio on each side of the field with Lamar Jackson playing quarterback. Good luck getting Super Bowl win number 7.
Yeah.
That probably wouldn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you, if they do give him the green light, Mike, and there are probably some teams out there that certainly would be interested in him, it would be almost like a little bit of an arms race to for him to decide where he would go and how that would shift sort of the balance in the AFC or the NFC.
And somebody raised the point earlier this week that there would be potential protests and issues and backlash. Well, if the league says we investigated this and we find no basis to discipline him, there's been no arrest, no criminal charge, no criminal complaint. All we have is a civil lawsuit. That's right. It. And I don't want to demean it, but if you investigate it and you conclude that he didn't do it after talking to the alleged victim, and after talking to him, if you conclude, as part of this in-house justice system the NFL felt compelled to create 5 years ago, if you conclude he didn't do it, then what's the backlash? We've come to the conclusion that he's blameless. We've come to the conclusion that these allegations are inaccurate and that he has the same standing any player has. And I think that if the NFL would give him that exoneration, I think it gets very interesting. It almost seems unfair that a playoff team would have the ability to snatch Antonio Brown and plug him into the offense with the playoffs approaching, if that does happen.
Yeah, it would be unprecedented for a player, you know, this great. Mike, let me ask you about Carson Wentz, who's always a big topic of conversation here in Philadelphia. And I've heard you before talk about, you know, you're a fan of his play and the player he's been. He has struggled. I mean, he struggled last week. One of the worst games we've seen him play. It was the Patriots. Great defense, maybe an all-time great secondary. Has your feelings on Carson changed? Or what do you look at when you look at the Eagles quarterback, what are you seeing right now?
Well, it's funny because I was convinced going into the season that if Carson Wentz stays healthy, the Eagles are a Super Bowl contender and Carson Wentz is an MVP contender. And the big question is, can he stay healthy? And of course, he stayed healthy, but the Eagles currently aren't a Super Bowl contender and Wentz definitely isn't an MVP contender. And it's just, it's confounding. It's confusing. Based upon what we saw in 2017 when he was healthy wire to Rams game, And it was, you know, this is the next big thing. This guy's going to be great. He's going to be a franchise quarterback for the next 15 years. And something's not working this year. Now, it hurts to not have DeSean Jackson or any other deep threat in the offense to open everything up underneath. There have been way too many injuries on the offensive side of the ball. And maybe that's the easy explanation. But when you see other teams who have question marks around a franchise quarterback, but they still get it done, like Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay and Tom Brady to a lesser extent in New England, you'd like to think that your franchise quarterback can rise above it. But what a difference a year makes when it comes to the top two picks in 2016. You know, we're at a point where it's a foregone conclusion that Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston, picks number two and number one, respectively, in 2015, really don't have much of a bright future in the NFL. Goff and Wentz got their big contracts, and you could argue that both teams may regret making the financial commitment that they did already.
You could. And now at this point here, the best quarterback, at least this season from that draft class, has been Dak Prescott in Dallas, which is nothing I don't think any of us expected before this season started.
And he's the one who didn't get paid.
Right. He's the only one that didn't get paid.
You know what the problem there is?
He's about to.
Well, he will in March, yeah. February or March. Because at this point, I think that he will not take any less than what he gets if he plays this out. And he is going to carry the injury risk for six more regular season games in the postseason. But he's fine with that. He's played every game of his career so far. In a nutshell, the problem with Dak Prescott is that because he was a fourth-round pick and has a very low salary this year, when you extend his contract and you give him, quote-unquote, new money, which really isn't new money. They rip up the current contract and they replace it with a new one. But the way these contracts get valued, because his salary is so low for this year, if you give him a fair contract, the new money calculation becomes astronomical. And from a PR standpoint, the team just won't do it. You know, if you, and I said this earlier in the year, if you would rip up Dak Prescott contract right now, or at least at the start of the season, and give him the Jimmy Garoppolo contract, which clearly he deserves, the new money value of that's $34 million a year because of how low the number is for this year. So there are real impediments, practical impediments, because he was a fourth-round pick that makes it hard to pay him before that contract expires. But they're going to have to pay him after that contract expires, and he's going to be up near what Russell Wilson is making when it's all said and done.
Yeah, he's going to win. I mean, he won the negotiation by playing the way he has this year. Mike, we appreciate you hopping on. And we'll talk to you again next week on
Thanks,
Friday.
Guys. Hey, hey, you didn't ask me who I like this week. I like the Eagles to win. Let me pander.
Go ahead, Mike. Tell us why. Eagles
Give
win?
The Eagles. Yes.
Upset. Well, actually, not an upset. They're favorite.
1.5. No, they're not favorite. They're 1.5-point underdogs. Last I saw.
Well, you know what? A win's a win. I'll take it. Underdog or not.
27-24.
27-24. Eagles. Like Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. All right. So
I said 27-23. The caller earlier said 27-23.
I'll give my score as we go on. I haven't live and locked it in yet, but it's not going to be a blowout. It's going to be a close, ugly game. 888-729-9494. We'll come back. We'll jump back into our debate on whether or not this is on Wentz to lift these guys up or these guys around them to play better football down the stretch. And, Ike, when we get back, the Eagles injury report is out. We know someone is out. A major player is out for this game on Sunday. And a surprise name on the Seahawks injury report. It's good news for the Eagles. That's coming up. This is Mark Cerise, Joe Giglio in for John Marks on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hey, FanDuel is officially live in PA in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Now, there are always more ways to win on FanDuel Sportsbook. How about this? Moneyline, spreads, totals, parlays, props, teasers, and more. Plus, they always offer unique betting promos to spice up game day, like boosted odds, score bonuses, and parlay insurance. Now, with so much to bet on across 17 different sports, FanDuel Sportsbook is sure to have a wager that's right for you. And best of all, you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free. Now, if you lose, you'll get a refund of up to $500. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app with promo code IKE to bet from anywhere in Pennsylvania. If you lose your first bet within 7 days of signing up, FanDuel Sportsbook will give you a refund of up to $500 in site credit. Now, don't forget to use promo code IKE. That's I-K-E.
419 Sports Radio 94. WIP. Joe Giglio in for John Marks alongside Ike Reese. This is Marks and Reese, 888-729-9494. As we get you set up here for what it should be Sunday, a close game. I know, Ike, we both feel good about it. And it's the start of a stretch. Six games to go here in this season. If the Eagles are going to find a way to 5-1, win five of the last six, make the playoffs, or at least get to 10-6, give themselves a chance. We agreed early in the show, a lot needs to happen. They need to have guys step up. And here's what I believe. I believe the most important thing down the stretch is Carson Wentz uplifting and playing his best football and leading these guys and kind of dragging them to wherever they're going to go. And if they do that, I think it gives them their best chance to win. Ike, you believe it is the guys around them. They got to play their best football right now.
Yeah, and they certainly got to play better than what they have been playing. He's going to lead. They have to be willing to follow. And then when he puts that thing in the basket for you, you got to catch it. And he has to put it in the basket.
Is the Bronco going to buck? We're going to see this Bronco buck anytime soon?
I really do. I really
haven't heard all day.
Yeah, I really do believe he's going to buck Sunday. I think watching Russell Wilson play the game and the way that he's going to play the game, that's going to be sort of inspiring, and I think that gets Carson back to playing the game the way he knows how to play the game. Hey, listen, man, you're going to lose by playing in the pocket, so you may as well play your own game.
Mom, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, you may as well go out there and do your own thing. Not recklessly, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but they have to make big plays. Like, somehow, that's got to happen because it has been few and far between. Carson Wentz can play better. I'm with you. These guys can too. But I believe the most important thing here is Carson Wentz playing his best football. So we put the poll up on Twitter, at Marks Reese WIP. And it's brought to you, of course, by Marks Jewelers. Fall is in the air. Are you planning to get engaged? Visit the pros at Marks Jewelers in Montgomeryville, PA for the best selection of engagement rings or online at marks-jewelers.com. Tell them John Marks sent you. And listen, sometimes I kind of shake my head at our Twitter polls. I kind of, you know, I cringe at the results when they don't go the way I want them. Today I'm very proud of our audience. Very, very proud. Today is, I believe, one of the smartest Marks and Reese audience we've had in a long time, because 55% of people, almost 4,000 people voted on this one, 55% believe the most important thing here is Carson. It's on Carson to play his best to lift these guys up. 55%.
Yeah. I mean, you put that in a question, that's sort of easy. Well, they see a question there, and you got choices. Of course they're going to pick.
Oh, this is a smart audience.
No, of course they're going to pick the quarterback being the obvious choice. But
because he's the quarterback.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. And I'm not disagreeing with any of that. The point is that the quarterback can only do so much. The other guys around him have to do their job, and this team would be a lot better if the players around him were playing up to their capabilities. It would be.
Sure it would. It would. But the quarterback needs to be at his best. And look, on Sunday, he's going to have to lift them up even a little bit more because we got that final injury report, Ike.
Mm-hmm.
It is out, the Friday injury report, and here's what we know. Lane Johnson is out on Sunday. So that, look, I don't think we were shocked. We played Doug earlier. Yeah, it's one of those. You know, you're not shocked. Earlier in the show, we played Doug, and he did not seem...
Once you say he's still in concussion protocol.
But that means Andre Dillard makes a start at right tackle.
I am not comfortable with that.
Well, he's never played the position.
Exactly.
Jason Peters will start the game at left tackle. I imagine they wouldn't change two spots. Like when Peters goes out, Vitae goes left tackle?
No, you got to move Vitae to right tackle.
So they're gonna get Dillard ready for right tackle. And then second quarter,
listen,
3 minutes in?
I can't get Dillard out of that right tackle spot fast enough.
Vitae looked so great last week at right tackle. I'm excited to get him out there.
He did not. And listen, when Dillard is answering questions as to what it's like to move from left tackle to right tackle, and he says, what hand are you? What hand are you right with? All right, with my right hand. Well, try writing with your left hand right now.
Doesn't exactly inspire confidence.
Exactly. When I saw that answer, I said, man, listen, So my only point is that Jadeveon Clowney is going to be over him a lot.
Well, probably, or maybe. So the Seahawks injury report is out. Jadeveon Clowney is questionable for this game. He didn't practice all week, or he was limited, and he's questionable for this game.
Oh, I did not know that.
Now, that would change some things.
I did not know
Makes
that.
Makes me feel a little bit better about Dillard writing with his wrong hand.
How much are the Eagles going to win by now?
10-plus? Easy. Bet him.
I got to cover that spread.
Yeah, Clowney's not going to be out there. Okay, that's different.
So, look, I would prefer – it's better for the Eagles if Clowney doesn't play, though it is – like, the whole season has been the Eagles passing up getting extra talent, right? They didn't trade for Ramsey. They didn't trade for any of these receivers. They didn't trade for Clowney. It feels like he needs to play in this game. Like, so Howie can just sit there and say, see, I told you we didn't need him. Or we can all just say, hey, Howie, what did you do?
Yeah, look, we needed him.
And look, Josh Gordon and Jadeveon Clowney.
Listen, and DK Metcalf.
Fun.
Clowney, he almost killed Nick last year.
Oh,
with the face mask.
That was the most mad I've ever seen Nick. Nick was losing his mind after
that. Don't bring up that moment to Joe. That was a tough moment for him.
Yeah, I was
that was a tough moment, but I don't want to see that either, man. What are you talking about?
And then Nick rallied, 32 points, 471 yards.
I'm not like Joe Santoligiglio Parks. I actually like Nick Foles.
Listen,
I root for Nick Foles.
I want to believe in Carson. He's got to give me something to believe in, and then I will. All right, back to the phone lines here. 888-729-9494. And just on the rest of the injury report quickly, Alshon and Aguilar and Howard are all questionable. So they're not out. So they're we're going to extend this thing probably till Sunday morning when inactives come out to see if those guys could play. All right, back to the phone lines here. 888-729-9494. Jeff in New Jersey wants to save you, Ike. What's up, Jeff?
Okay.
LTBB Ike, holler.
Holler at your boy, Jeff.
What's going on, Ike? Joe, man, look, I love you. I call you sometimes at night. You drive me crazy when it comes to Carson Wentz, bro. You really do. Because, I mean, I can admit he does need to play better. He had a horrible game this past Sunday. I can admit that, okay? As a proud card-carrying member of the community, I can admit that, all right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So can you at least admit that if a handful of more catches were made, catches that, you know, balls that hit them in the hands, we'd have a couple more wins on our record and we wouldn't even be having this conversation? Can we at least admit that?
Yeah, look, if certain drops didn't happen in those certain moments, Atlanta and Detroit, yeah, they probably would have won those games, and it's a different story. But can you also admit that if he – let's go to Sunday. If he throws the ball to Ertz, it's first and 10 from the 15, that Nelson, whatever you want to call it, a drop or a non-catch, that play never happens, Jeff.
Well, we don't know that.
It doesn't happen that exact play from that yard line. It can't. They're at the 15.
That's true, unless you get a penalty.
Well –
okay.
Well,
ahead.
I mean, and you're totally right on that. He did not have a good game. I mean, guys are allowed to have bad games, but he had a bad game. But that was the situation that was in that play, and he made the pass. Nelson didn't make the catch. Same with the other games. He made the passes, so it very easily could be maybe he had some accuracy issues. But man, did you see that pass he made in the clutch?
See, Jeff, that's where my frustration with Carson Wentz comes. We focus on the wow, and we ignore or we let go of the routine. The quarterbacks that win every year, Jeff, they just do the routine. Like I said, can you think of one great throw Tom Brady's ever made? Like, wow. I can't. You know what I think of with Tom Brady?
I can't think of a great throw that Tom Brady's ever made,
right?
But I do remember that miracle catch that Edelman made in the Super Bowl.
You know what else you remember? You remember hundreds of third and sixes over the middle, first down, first down, first down. That's what I want more out of Carson Wentz. Or it could be first and 10, whatever. Just simple plays that if he hits those with accuracy.
He made a great throw to Gronk in the Super Bowl this year.
This is true.
But typically his career has not been the wow place. It's just like methodical.
And that throw to Gronk in the Broncos AFC Championship game. Remember that one?
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, but it's
also
been 20 years of mostly third and six over the middle to Edelman. Nothing special.
I got you.
Also, with Nelson and Alshon, I think it's pretty easy to see. Nelson has a history of getting in his head. He's back in his head.
Right.
In 2017, remember in the preseason, he was keeping tally in practice of his drops. He was actively working with himself to get that, you know, out of his system. And Alshon, he's out there playing hurt. I mean, he played hurt in 2017, but he is so slow this year. I mean, it's real easy to see. He's not going up and fighting for those balls like he used to.
Yep. It's true.
Well, it's true. And, Jeff, we appreciate the call. Here's the thing, Ike, about Nelson. Nelson's gotten beat up, and he has not played well. I mean, beat up by the fan base. Like, we have been hard on him. I think the Cowboy play, whatever that was, whether he didn't track it, he didn't try, whatever that actually was, I feel like that's changed what people feel about him forever. Like, I do think that guy tries.
No, I listen.
I don't think Nelson gives half effort I think the guy is trying. It's just he's not very good.
Yeah.
Like Sunday, did you think that was lack of effort, that last play? I thought he gave full effort. He's just not very good.
Yeah, but you got to track that ball, man. He overran the ball.
He did.
He overran the ball. So, like, I think the thing that frustrates fans is that, like, when you have the experience Nelson has, and you've been playing this league 5 years now, where are the spectacular plays? This isn't an undrafted wide receiver. He was the 20th player drafted.
He rarely makes a great play.
Yeah, like, so when does he make a play where he's toe-tapping on the sideline? You know, I watched DeAndre Hopkins make several of those plays last night. He only had 6 catches. But he made several catches that weren't necessarily routine catches.
Right.
Now, the first touchdown he had, sure, backed into the end zone, Watson hit him. But, man, he had to make a tip grab with the other one. He came back and made a toe drag drag for a first down. And I know he's not DeAndre Hopkins. My only point is that this isn't some fifth or sixth, seventh round draft pick that's a rookie. He's a first round pick in his 5th year. Like, at some point, give me the spectacular. At some point, give me something that isn't ordinary. That's the problem with this receiving core. That's what D-Jack gives you.
He would have.
I mean, D-Jack's been here less time than all these guys. Somehow he came in here in the first game and caught 2 deep balls. Nobody else can catch deep balls. Somehow he did. Somehow Carson, he didn't have to lay out for those balls.
Well, I think, you know what, he's the great equalizer for Carson, because I don't think Carson's a very great deep ball throwing accuracy, but but Sean can track anything. Well, these guys can't do that.
He dropped those 2 to Deshaun right in the bucket.
Touchdown.
Yeah.
Since then, no touchdowns.
No.
No deep balls.
No.
Let's talk to Mike in Berlin. No. What's up, Mike?
What's up, boys? Man, what? Oh, my goodness. So, you know, like, Hank Fairley, John Runyon.
Mike, you should have called it earlier. You would have hit it.
Come on, man. Harriman. I mean, we could go on and on.
Bobby Wilson.
We'd be going for 30 minutes naming offensive linemen.
My man. You know, like, listen, I'm with you. That's a Bronco buck. And, Joe, can I ask you something? How good was Dak Prescott before he got Amari Cooper? How good is he when his running back's on the sidelines? See, you guys don't talk all shiny peanuts right now, but how did he play? How did he play last year before he got Amari Cooper?
Yeah, not great.
They were 3-5.
Not great,
they were 3-5.
The one thing to be fair, if you want to be fair about it, they're not getting much out of Zeke. That thing is flipped down there. They're
no,
not a running.
No,
it's not like 2 years ago. It was like, well, with no Zeke, this guy's lost. And now it's his team now.
Yeah.
It's changed.
No. I'm not talking about. I'm just making a fact. They did not help this guy. They don't draft well. I'm very disappointed in this organization. They give me a player in the last 7 years besides Zach Ertz, Lane Johnson, that's after the second round that's contributing right now on this football team.
After the second round?
Okay.
Jalen Mills is a good one.
Jalen Mills, after the second round, that's a contributor on this football team. You cannot give me one.
Well, I mean, like, I give you a media. I mean, say Amalo's third round pick. No one cares about
you.
Say Amalo. Mike, here's the thing about I don't think it's fair to say they didn't try. They just failed. They tried to fix this receiving core, give Carson Lott. They traded for Deshaun. They
drafted Ortega.
They kept Nelson at $9.4 million
man.
To be a third receiver.
Come
they
they
used a second round pick last year in Dallas Goedert. They said, you just said it, Ike. Ortega White's in the second round. They actually did pour a lot of resources into the weapons. It just didn't work.
Are you kidding me? Look across the league. Look at these rookies that are balling out this year. Are you kidding me? Who's evaluating his talent? I'm not saying Whiteside maybe something down the road. You're talking 3 years looking at, like, I heard you guys, I was driving home. I was laughing. Look, if the guy's got talent, he's going to be at least average this year.
Yeah.
Okay, if he's talented.
Well, DK Metcalf, the other side, you're going to see a second round pick. He's going to play on Sunday, probably make a big play. Mike, appreciate the call.
I remember D-Jag's rookie year.
They plays.
He damn near had 1,000 yards his rookie season.
That all being said, Carson Wentz can make these guys better by throwing it exactly where it needs to be. Like, the more often he throws it where it needs to be, I'm going to make a guarantee. There's more often they're going to make catches. They're still going to drop some.
I hope so.
But they're not going to. They'll convert more if he puts it on as much as possible. The more accurate the ball is, the better chance this team has of actually making plays. Now, they're still going to drop some because they're not that good.
The problem is not 7-on-7. So
there's more to it, yeah.
There are defenders out there. You got pass rushers in your face. I agree with you. When you got a clean pocket,
got to make the play.
You got to hit Ertz. I'm with you. I think we all saw that. You got to hit Ertz on that last drive. Yep. Coming down there, you got to be able to do that.
And I'm asking a lot out of the quarterback for this reason. The thing is, sometimes I think we look at Carson Wentz in a vacuum. Like, well, he's this and he's doing that. But, like, they need him to be more because of the team around him. You might say that's unfair, but, like, that's the only way they get to the playoffs in my mind, is if he raises his game to make up for the issues here, which I acknowledge are here. But, like, Sunday, he wasn't very good. We all acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
And people say to me, well, every quarterback misses throws. Well, yeah. But if you're the Chiefs, there's six more big plays you'll be able to make, and that will forget about the missed throw.
Right.
I can't forget about the missed throws on this team. I heard you mention this week, his completion percentage this year not that much different than the year he was great.
Yeah.
But they were so good that year
that they overcame it.
He missed throws, and we didn't even talk about it because they won by 30 points. Yeah. They can't overcome him not being great right now.
Now that's a good point. That's a valid point
right there. It only took 2.5 hours.
That is a valid point right there.
There it is.
Yes. He's right. I mean, listen, you made a valid point. The fact that they don't have enough to just overcome mistakes, he has to take advantage of the opportunities when it presents itself. He can't have the overthrows because you don't have the ability to overcome them later on. You're absolutely right about that.
See?
You're absolutely right about that.
Do I get invited to one of the LTBB community now?
No. Hell no.
You know what? That's all right. 888-729-9494.
I've never said you're completely wrong about everything you say.
No, but now you're starting to see the right way here, which is Carson's got to step up now.
No. I just said you made a good point right there.
And yeah, what it is this. Carson needs to lead this team right now, play his best football. Or is it everyone else around him? We'll debate that. 888-729-9494. Hop on the lines now. Commercial free coming up here. And let's not forget here, coming up in the next hour, Ike, it is Eagle in the Envelope. Each day this week in the 5 p.m. hour, we'll play Eagle in the Envelope. It is your chance to get involved here this is the, of all the things you guys have done over the years, I mean, this is the best thing in a while I've heard here. Prior to the start of the show, we're going to write name of the player in the envelope, piece of paper sealed in the envelope. Callers get a chance to ask one question about the player. Then they must guess who that player is. And, of course, you get in the drawing and you have a chance to win those tickets to the Eagles-Dolphins game. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. And Ike, on the other side, along with our phone calls and our conversation,
yep,
we might have some bad news here. If we're banking on a Patriots win on Sunday, the injury report is out. And it's not great if we are sure the Patriots are going to win this game on Sunday over
you
Dallas.
Change my pick.
Not great. We'll hit on that on the other side. 888-729-9494. Mark Cerie, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.